The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
Julie, what's your favorite non-scientific weather forecasting tool?
One that we're going to talk about today. Yeah. The whole, like, I feel it in my bones.
Well, that one's an interesting, because I do feel it in my bones, and particularly my knee, if there's some sort of weather change coming.
You do?
I do.
So yesterday when that ominous front was rolling through Atlanta and we were looking out the windows, mm-hmm. were your knees like buckling?
No, my right knee, which is the one that speaks to me, it was fine then. But mm-hmm. earlier in the week, like the day before and the day before that, that's when I felt it. And I was thinking, oh, well, maybe the thing that they always say is true and that, you know, means that some sort of weather front is coming in.
Is that right knee an old gaming injury?
No, it is a dancing injury, actually.
Oh. Yeah.
Dancing in a field, you know, there was a hole. You know how it goes.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
My favorite, my current favorite non-scientific weather forecasting tool is, it has to do with the chalk drawings that I do with my son in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
The more that accumulate, I know the more likely it is to rain. So once we reach the point where we've covered every foreseeable space with scribbles and elephants, I know that it's got to be about to rain because it, you know, it means like 2 weeks has passed.
Okay, I like that. It is a method.
It's a method. You know, it's based on observational data in my surrounding environment.
Uh-huh.
And I look to it and I make a distinct call about what the weather may or may not do.
And this is one of those things, weather, that we kind of take for granted because we've got the old Doppler radar systems in place. We can easily access information about the weather whenever we want. But you kind of, if you want to think about weather in really big terms and even cosmic terms, you have to go all the way back to when the atmosphere actually even developed. And we won't go, you know, too deep into this, but just consider for a second that atmosphere that life depends on is created by life itself. So whether you have back in the earliest of days when the Earth formed, really just rudimentary. We're talking about hydrogen and helium hanging out on Earth, and not for very long either, because hydrogen and helium are fast-moving molecules. And at that time in Earth's very young history, it was a hot planet, and so they sped up even more and they escaped out into space. But then you have much later, volcanic activity happening. And with this volcanic activity happening, you have steam escaping right from the volcanoes. You have H2O, you have carbon dioxide, you have ammonia, which contains nitrogen. And you begin to see this sort of base stock of the atmosphere building up. And then a bit later, you have the carbon dioxide being absorbed by oceans. And this is great because now a bacterium comes to be, and it gets a lot of its energy from the sun and from the carbon dioxide in the oceans, and its byproduct as a result is oxygen. And all of a sudden, boom, you have the elements for an atmosphere.
That's right. Currently, our atmosphere consists of 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, then you have 0.9 argon, 0.03 carbon dioxide, and the remaining 0.07% consists of water vapor, hydrogen, ozone, neon, helium, krypton, and xenon.
Right, and so the more that life developed, the more these molecules were created and came to create this envelope, this atmosphere that we live in. And it became so supportive that it supported complex life such as, say, humans, that became acutely aware of the tides of wind, of the moon and the sun, and began to obsess about it.
Yeah, I mean, indeed. I mean, this is the movement of our environment. We live in the atmosphere. We live on the Earth, but we're slaves to the atmosphere. And the better we can understand it, the better we can predict it, all the better. Now, how long have we been keeping records of what the weather is doing? Because obviously we've been obsessing over the weather since time out of mind. But when you look at observation data, generally you go back to around 1914. Because that's when observation stations became more uniform in the way that they were collecting the data and measuring it. So if you need a start point, like, that's the easiest place to go to.
Right. But there were other systems in place before that, but not as uniform.
Right, not as uniform. I mean, for instance, the England and Wales precipitation series, which measures rainfall and snow, that goes all the way back to 1766. The Central England temperature series, which covers temperature from the south, the Midlands to Lancashire, goes back to 1659. But again, 1914, that's generally modern forecasting's start date.
Right, and a lot of people will point to that date, too, and say, oh, this is when we began to really record information about hurricanes, and maybe that's why it seems like there are more hurricanes lately, because we only have this limited data set, which may be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a concern when you're looking at patterns in our atmosphere and patterns in climate, is that the records, the dependable records, only go back so far. But again, we have been trying to forecast the weather since our earliest days. It's pretty much one of the earliest sciences tackled by any given culture, because after the agrarian revolution, especially, we have crops that need watering. Life depends on the cycle of the rains, the shrink and swell of the local river, the coming of the monsoons, the advance of dangerous weather patterns. And again, this is particularly important for agriculturally bound societies that are depending upon this artificially maintained version of vegetation that requires water, that requires, and again, like all of us, is a slave to the atmosphere. And then as we develop a surplus of these items, we start warring with each other. So military navigation also becomes key. You need to know what the weather's doing, because you want to game your advantages in trying to attack or defend yourself from your adversary. And when you take that situation on to the ocean, you have even more concerns to deal with. There are several cases in history, of course, where sea weather has saved a nation from an invading army, particularly in the case of the Japanese being saved by the divine wind, protecting them from Mongol invasion, the fate of the Spanish Armada headed towards England. So it becomes important from a military standpoint to be able to tell what the weather is going to do. It's important from an agricultural standpoint. And then when you get into trade as well on the seas, you need to be able to accurately depend on how this atmosphere is going to behave. Because on the ocean especially, this is a situation where the weather can see you safely to your harbor destination, or it can just utterly destroy you and your economy in the blink of an eye, right? And before we had accurate meteorological instruments to help us with this, to, you know, to accurately measure temperature, accurately measure pressure in the air, and then compare that to our records over time. What can you turn to? You turn to idioms. You turn to time-worn lore, different sayings that are based on observational data that deal with what the weather may be about to do.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you have the cultural layer, right? So you have all of the traditions that are bound up with weather and the seasons. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of guiding principle of, you know, sayings based on observational data sometimes take on more of a superstitious quality, and people begin to see these as guiding forces. And that's all well and good, except that some are actually helpful and some are not. So we're going to talk about the ones that are actually rooted in scientific soundness.
Indeed, examples where they're scientifically grounded at the root, and the game of cultural telephone has not really lost the truth of it over time.
All right, so we'll roll one out for you now. let me get one of my best sailor voices, I guess, here.
Yeah.
Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. There you go. So, of course, what we're talking about here is that blood red sky, that kind of fuchsia and red sky commingling. Mm-hmm. And what's behind it? Well, you're seeing a scattering of sunlight by small particles, but they're suspended in dry, dusty air, and that's key here, because at sunset, these conditions imply a zone of dry, high pressure between you and the sun. And since weather in the mid-latitudes moves mainly west to east, that means a day of clear sailing is on the horizon for the next day. But if you witness the same scattering of red wavelength near sunrise, it implies that the calm high-pressure zone has already passed and that a stormy low-pressure system could move through soon. So, again, take the perspective of someone who does not have Doppler radar at their disposal. Mm-hmm. You know, they're hanging out in the 1600s. They need to go out on the boat the next day. Their livelihood depends on it. These sort of signs and symbols present to you in the sky would become really important. But they're not always correct. A lot of this depends on where you stand on the earth. Okay, because this is very true, this sort of red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. For those who are in the mid-latitudes, which include most of North America, Europe, and Asia, as well as South Africa, and the southern halves of South America and Australia. But if you are in the poles or in the tropics, where weather tends to progress in the opposite direction, you'd want to reverse the saying.
Okay.
It's so cultural, right? Yeah. You go to one part of the world and they have a totally different saying.
Huh. Yeah, and of course that's going to come into play with the globe-trotting sailors, obviously.
Indeed.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All right, another one. This is one I had not heard of before. A few different versions of it. I'll haul out my sailor voice, too. Mackerel sky and mare's tail make lofty ships carry low sails. Mackerel in the sky, 3 days dry. Mackerel sky, never long wet and never long dry. Now, that I hear that, and I have no idea what that even means, right? Because I don't know what the mackerel sky is, what a mare tail is, and then what does it mean the ship carries low sails?
You're waiting for Grendel to appear.
Right, yeah. Like, when I first read it, I thought low sails, like, maybe that means that there's not enough wind filling up the sails. But what it's actually saying is if you look up in the sky, gentle sailor, and you see a fish or a horsetail, there's a storm approaching, and you better lower your sails to protect them from the accompanying high winds. Okay, which leads to the question, what on earth is a mackerel sky? Well, a mackerel sky, known in Germany and France as sheep clouds, these are a large spreading assemblage of clouds that resemble a series of waves or fish scales, with streaks of blue sky peeking out between the puffs. If you look at pictures of this, it kind of looks marbled to a certain extent. And then you have mare's tails, which are long, thread-like cirrus clouds, often stretched by strong, high-level winds. Now, when we're looking at this, what we're observing, this all consists of cirrocumulus and altocumulus clouds, which means there's moisture high up in a cold sky at an altitude of around 18,000 to 30,000 feet or 6,000 to 10,000 meters. Simply put, these are the cloud systems that develop prior to a storm. And the blue streaks that you see indicate that the clouds are breaking up due to instability in the air. So why is it correct? Well, again, these are the cloud systems that tend to develop prior to a storm. And both clues, whether we're talking mackerels or mares, suggest an impending storm about 6 to 8 hours away. If the clouds precede an approaching warm front, they'll thicken and the winds will veer from northwesterly to more southwesterly directions. Now, if not, if the clouds mostly consist of bigger, darker autocumulus clouds, then you're likely facing better weather in the short term in advance of a possible cold front and associated thunderstorms. So, as a general rule, the mackerel mare sky thing holds out, but it's kind of up in the air, no pun intended, as to whether you're actually talking about strong winds coming in or if you're talking about better weather in the short term followed by a potential thunderstorm.
Yeah, and again, this isn't foolproof, but it's the best guess based on weather patterns and knowing what happens when conditions change, right? And
yeah.
I think people pay attention to these kinds of forms today because maybe they're cloud porn enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. But really, people would, again, stare at the sky in earnest to try to figure out what was going to happen.
Yeah, you have to stake your life on something when it comes to navigation. And this, some simple idiom or saying, is ultimately better than nothing. This is all well and good, but tell me, Julie, about my knee. What is going on with my knee when it speaks to me?
Well, yeah, I got to say, you're not alone, obviously, in feeling this way. And in fact, Hippocrates, the father of Western medicine, noticed that certain illnesses seem to worsen under particular weather conditions. And you've probably heard people say it, you know, time over time, like, I can feel it. I can feel the weather coming. And according to Dr. Aditya Mittu, writing for NYU Langone Online Journal of Medicine, quote, surveys have demonstrated that upwards of 90% of patients believe that weather plays a role in their arthritic pain. The question is whether or not this is, in fact, an actual thing. And I will say that the jury is a bit out on this, okay? But you can look at a 2007 study by McAllenden et al. It's a multi-site study which followed 200 patients with knee osteoarthritis over different times of the year. And it used a well-validated pain questionnaire called WOMAC and data from the USOAA. And it compared knee pain with different atmospheric conditions throughout the continental U.S. What they found was statistically significant positive correlations. Now, why would this be? It's because your body is responding to atmospheric pressure. You don't think about it, right? Because you don't necessarily feel it. But your bodily fluids are trying to exist in a constant state of balance with ambient air pressure. So as the barometer falls, as with what happens with an approaching storm, your tissues can swell in response, and that can irritate nerve endings and cause your pain level to ratchet up a bit.
Okay.
Problem here is that swelling happens on such a small scale that it's difficult to objectively detect and measure it. So researchers have to rely on people's subjective accounts of pain, which, as we know, vary, and they're not always reliable. And there's also the psychological factor of priming, right? So
right.
You see approaching storm, maybe you start to feel achy.
Maybe you're paying just a little more attention to that ever-present condition, right?
Right. So that's not to say there's not something there. It's mm-hmm. just the jury is truly still out on that. However, those who suffer from migraines may have a level of sensitivity to their environment that gives them a leg up on predicting the weather. And according to Dr. Caroline Bernstein, who is the clinical director of the Harvard Medical Faculty Physicians Comprehensive Headache Center, quote, it may be that people who get migraines are very susceptible to any fluctuation, whether it's a weather change, foods, sleep, or stress.
Okay, well, I will keep that in mind the next time I feel my knee talking to me.
Yeah, just see if your head hurts.
Okay.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, that brings us to our next one. This one is Cold is the Night When the Stars Shine Bright, also known as Clear Moon Frost Soon. So what is this one that's basically saying? It's basically saying, hey, if you have a clear sky, it's going to be a colder night, right? Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And really the explanation of this one's pretty straightforward too. So it gets into the basic realities of how the sun heats our world. The sun emits a vast amount of energy, travels across space in the form of shortwave radiation, and only a tiny portion of this power actually reaches the surface. Most of the atmosphere isn't directly heated by solar radiation, but rather by the terrestrial radiation that the planet itself emits. So, during the day, the sun's shortwave radiation is absorbed by the Earth and converted into heat. The examples I often go back to when explaining this are, okay, you have a fried egg, and you're going to cook it on a sidewalk in New York because you need some sort of visible display of how hot it is for the local news. Well, it's the heat emitted by the pavement that's doing the frying, not the sun above. And that's basically the reality of heat on our world. Also, you have a mountain climber. They're climbing up a mountain. They're encountering increasingly colder conditions as they ascend, despite effectively moving closer to the sun. Okay? So, when the sun sets, the planet begins radiating this heat at various rates, depending on the materials involved. And lacking clouds to capture that heat and hold it in place, the surface and atmosphere grow increasingly colder through radiative heat loss. So, essentially, again, solar energy coming down, hitting the Earth, it's emitted as terrestrial radiation, and if there aren't clouds up there to keep it and contain it, it just goes off into space again. So, yes, indeed, if you have a night with no cloud cover, it is going to be colder because you're going to have more heat loss.
That makes sense, because the clouds are kind of like a blanket on the night. Right?
Exactly, yeah. It's like sleeping without your blanket. You're going to wake up a little chilly.
Without your blankie.
Yes.
All right, the next one doesn't have a neat little rhyme to it, so I'll attempt something. Crickets be chirping, the sun must be burping.
Okay, I like it. Really? I think it should be added to the canon, yeah.
Yeah. So crickets, it turns out, chirp faster in warmer conditions and more slowly as the air turns more frigid. And this is particularly true in the species Acanthus fultoni. And you probably have, you know, you grew up in a rural area, right, as a youngster, and as did I. And that's one of those features of nighttime, especially at summer. You hear that chirping.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing to me that this isn't something that I knew as folklore.
Yeah, me neither, despite just, that cacophony of insect noises that you deal with growing up in a rural environment.
So you're probably wondering, how can I calculate this air pressure? Because that's actually what they're reflecting here. Well, there's an 1897 edition of The American Naturalist by A.E. Dolbear, who created this formula, T equals 50 plus N minus 4 divided by 4, where T equals temperature, F and N equals chirp rate per minute. And thankfully, we have the Old Farmer's Almanac to help us convert cricket chirps to degrees Fahrenheit by counting the number of chirps in 14 seconds and then adding 40 to get the temperature.
Okay, that sounds a bit easier.
Right.
Yeah.
So, example, 30 chirps plus 40 equals 70 degrees. So why is this important? Well, because listening, eavesdropping on the mating calls of crickets can actually give you an idea whether or not a warm front is coming or a cold front's coming.
Huh.
But I got to tell you, it has its limitations, because it's only accurate down to 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Any lower than that, then the crickets take off. They're not really interested in hanging out and making their mating calls.
Shop.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, well, you mentioned the Farmer's Almanac there, and I have to ask, like, what is the deal with the Farmer's Almanac? Because it's one of those books that has always been in the background of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I think my grandfather would have a copy sitting around, and I may have, like, leafed through it once or twice as a kid, and you see it, you know, pretty much at any bookstore you go to, there will be Farmer's Almanac there. And I really have no idea exactly what it is. I just always assumed it was just a whole bunch of old wives' tales and little, you know, idioms and sayings about the weather, look at the size of a woolly caterpillar to tell what the rain is going to do, that sort of thing. And I've never really paid it much attention beyond that.
Yeah, I remember when I was little, it was usually a fixture in my relatives' bathrooms, right? It was good bathroom reading. And it turns out that there are two different farmers' almanacs.
Okay.
They're competing. There's the farmer's almanac and the Old Farmer's Almanac, founded in 1812 and 1792, respectively. And they both rely on proprietary formulas for their weather prognostications. And House of Works actually has an article on this. Kate Kirshner wrote it. And she says, quote, "The Farmer's Almanac uses mathematical and astronomical formulas, which are passed along from one anonymous prognosticator to another." And this almanac's formula is really just entrusted to what they say is one living being.
A being. Not a person, not a human, but a being.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes me think it might just be like a centaur or something, right?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That would.
If it is a centaur, and it is a living being, right? Whatever this living being is, this weather forecaster, since the publication's inception, has gone by the pseudonym Caleb Weatherby. And they keep pretty mum about Caleb, about who he or she is. They just confirm that this person exists. That's the only thing they'll confirm. Now, the Old Farmer's Almanac relies on a theory that weather is a result of magnetic storms on the sun's surface, and the forecasts are predicted based on a formula that is locked away in a black box at the headquarters.
Wow. See, I had no idea it was this kind of secret-y and culty.
Right, it feels Masonic, right?
It does.
Now, both of the publications claim an 80% accuracy rate when it comes to weather, but independent verifications looking at, you know, years of data say it's more like a coin toss, more about like 50%.
Okay. So they each have their own systems based in whatever's happening on the sun or some sort of secret methodology, and it just kind of lines up with what's actually happening to a degree that you can roll with. Right?
That's the idea, right? Okay. Like you can, there's 50% chance that they're year out from now, forecast mm-hmm. is going to be correct. Plus, like you'll get some sort of tip about how to remove, you know, butterbean stains or something.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I know, you don't get that from your just iPhone weather app, you know?
No, so, you don't.
The useful data.
Siri will not tell you that information.
All right, so there you have it. Just a little insight into the world of weather superstition and how, in some cases, it does line up with what's actually going on in this complex, chaotic system of the atmosphere. On that note, you know, let's call over the robot and have just a little bit of listener mail.
We got this from Betsy Lang, and she starts out by saying, I had a paradigm shift 2 years ago while listening to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a marathon of it at a rainy campground near Barcelona. My master's thesis was on endocrine disruptors, and I cowered in fear of all the things plastic, even fearing the future of science and society. Your podcast, the first I ever listened to and still my favorite, woke me up and reminded me of the wonder in science transforming me back into the optimist slash futurist that I forgot I was during those years of wiping butts. She says, in parentheses, I was an at-home parent for 6 years. She says, I'm writing you because you've inspired me along with so many others, and I'm in the process of creating a related but very different audio program that I hope you and or some of your listeners can get involved in. My production is called STEMagora, and it will use the voices of people around the world to have a conversation about science and math topics. Contributors can submit short audio files on topics that intrigue them, interviews, monologues, debates, presentations, musical composition. And she said they don't need professional equipment. She said she wants more of a grassroots sound. So the first phase of this project is underway, and if you guys are interested in it, make sure you go to www.quilla.info. That's Quilla.info, because she is accepting audio entries until June 15th. So if you guys are interested in that, it looks like a really cool project. Do check it out.
Indeed, that sounds really fascinating. In the meantime, if you want to check out more of what we do here, head on over to StuffToBlowYourMind.com. That's where you'll find all of our podcast episodes, videos, blog posts, links out to social media accounts, you name it. And hey, on the landing page for this episode, we'll make sure we include some links to some related content, such as that Farmer's Almanac article on How Stuff Works, as well as an article on weather from HowStuffWorks.com.
And if you have some thoughts about these superstitions, if you get a little rattling in your bones when it starts to rain out, let us know. You can drop us a line by emailing us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.